You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Depravities of War is an exhibition of woodblock prints about the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq by American artist Sandow Burke. It's now on view at the SFU Gallery on the Burnaby campus and at the Tech Gallery at the downtown Simon Fraser campus. Laura Lamb saw the show and she's here to talk about it. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Jane.
Now, what did you see when you go in the gallery?
Well, I walked in on the gallery, the downtown one, without knowing what these pictures were. Just kind of noticed them from afar and thought, wow, those look like giant blow-ups of old engravings. I wonder what they are. And as soon as I got there, I mean, they're really huge. They're maybe 8 feet by 4 feet. As soon as I, of course, got up close, I could see that they weren't that and that they were referencing the war in Iraq. But using this kind of imagery, this kind of picturing that directly refers to this time when mass media, so if there was such a thing before photography, was printmaking, and that was the technology for reproducing images, art images, and current events for mass consumption.
What do the pictures depict?
Well, they're the iconic images of that many people will be familiar with from the news. About the invasion and the occupation of Iraq. And I don't have a TV and don't really have that much familiarity with these images, but I saw a few of them on the front page of the paper. Or, you know, they're not direct copies of photographs, but there those images are there. For instance, the one that struck me first was the prisoners. Dozens of prisoners sitting on the ground and being loaded into trucks with hoods or, you know, bags over their heads and their hands tied and with American soldiers pointing their guns at them. The burning oil fields, the Abu Ghraib the picture, and in this work it's called Humiliation of the prisoners being you know, naked and being humiliated, and the titles of the pictures are things like incursion, invasion, occupation, humiliation, repercussion.
Are the title The Depravities of War and the printmaking method, are they references to Goya's series Disasters of War?
Yes, I think they are. Probably a lot of people are familiar with Goya's Disasters of War, the really horrific images of a war that he experienced around the beginning of the 19th century in Spain with the Napoleonic troops torturing and mutilating and raping and so on. And those images are really, really graphic, and they're considered some of the most... The most important anti-war art or picturing of the horrors of war, and they're considered, you know, they're very important in the history of art and in the history of art as protest. But these pictures, The Depravities of War, these new pictures are more directly relating to an even earlier series of prints that were made by a French artist in the 17th century called The Miseries of War. And they were probably also the inspiration, at least for Goya's title, The Disasters of War. They were famous in his time, and they're still very famous. And they were images of the 30-year war in France at that time between Catholics and Protestants. They're much... These pictures are much more related to those pictures, to the 17th century images. And in fact, when I saw the pictures for the first time, one print that shows the hanging of Saddam Hussein, it right away rang a bell with one of these prints by Collot, which shows about 20 men hanging from a huge tree. It's a very famous image, and right away I thought of it. So all of these, both Goya and Kahlo, were basically using the mass media of the time to make pictures of current events, although Goya's images weren't published till quite a while after. But
how does the depravities of war compare with the miseries of war?
Well, there are a lot of direct comparisons. The imagery is, some of it is very directly referencing the older prints. For instance, the title page is really done in this style. And just basically the style of those old prints, they look very archaic. They look, on one hand, very like they're from some other time. On the other hand, you can tell that they're not. The sense that it's kind of a reporting of news events, that it's that's something that's happened recently, that the time and place is important. In Goya's prints, for instance, you're very close to the action, too close. I mean, they're really, you're right in front of the, you know, dismemberment of people, the torturing of people. It's like you're maybe a few feet away. Whereas in these pictures and in Kahlo's pictures, it's a big landscape, and in the center of the landscape is all this different activity, a little bit over here, a little bit over there. So you get a sense that these things are happening in a specific time and place. They're more like a kind of a depiction of events and informative kind of a depiction. And the sequence of the prints is similar too. In both cases, they start with the recruiting of the soldiers, and it's very much in the center of the narrative in both the 17th century and in Burke's is the soldiers. It starts with their recruiting, and then it takes them through the war, the horrors that they commit, and then their sad end. In the 17th century prints, they're all punished, and the some of the most horrific ones are the soldiers being punished for their for their raping and pillaging of the population, and revenge of the peasants on the soldiers, and then in the end the soldiers are begging on the street. They're crippled and begging on the street, and in the depravities of war, the last print in the series shows the crippled soldiers lined up at the veterans' hospital.
Who is the artist Sandow Burke?
Well, I didn't know anything about him until I saw this work. He's very much a California boy. He's from L.A. He's extremely prolific. He's explored all kinds of different styles, many of which referring back to earlier styles, going from one style of picture making to another. Very postmodern in that way, and a lot of his work is very politically engaged. One series that he did is about prisons of California, but he's painted them in this 19th century idealized Western landscape style. So you have this beautiful landscape, but within it is the prison, and he's done a series documenting all the prisons in California.
So this current series, I guess, is somewhat similar in that it's using the media of past times to depict current events. What's the effect of this particular juxtaposition?
Well, the strongest effect that I noticed was that it makes it feel very distant. It kind of gives you this distant perspective from it. You know that this has all happened very recently, but somehow, because of this, you know, really ancient style of imaging, you get the feeling that it could have happened centuries ago, and you look at them kind of dispassionately, like as if almost you're from outer space, you know. And perhaps because they also right away look like something that I and probably a lot of people recognize as art, you know, art history, a method of picturing that is associated with art history textbooks and museums. The images have this kind of aura being important, perhaps more important than they would be if they were just photographs. And that seems somehow to affect me in that they seem truer in a sense, or more profound somehow, or more allegorical than something that just happened.
By treating the material in this way, treating the war in Iraq this way, what does it say about the war?
Well, the first thing is that struck me is that you start comparing them in your mind somehow, even unconsciously, even if you didn't know exactly the Callot images. You see them through these new images, and you see the new images through, as if one's kind of superimposed over the other. And that's a very kind of postmodernist thing that we're all used to in popular culture, that, you know, things are all mixed together and stuck on top of each other from different styles, different eras. And it tends to make everything kind of lose its grounding, you know, it tends to make all subjects equally meaningful or equally meaningless in a way, you know, so that you could say, oh yeah, that's war, the eternal war. War will just keep coming, it will keep being terrible forever. And, you know, it could make the pictures lose their any kind of moral imperative that they might have. And that clearly isn't Sandow Burke's intention. He intends these pictures to be a protest or a satire of what's going on. But I think that also, that great distance that you get, changes the way you look at them. So, you know, just as you wouldn't be able to look at those images, the image from the 1633 of the 20 men hanging from a tree, and say something like, well, they probably deserved it, you know, I mean, after all, they had raped and pillaged, and you can't look at it that way. That would be very petty. That would be, you know, completely missing the point, even if you thought that they did deserve to die. And the ostensible reason for hanging those guys is no longer relevant. You're just left with the kind of the stark horror of the image. And some of that feeling comes through also with these new images. You couldn't, you know, look at them, for instance, the one about Abu Ghraib, and say, oh, well, these are untrained prison guards, and this was an unfortunate incident of a war that was ultimately about the liberation of the people. You know, you just couldn't. Because when you have that kind of distance, you see it's much bigger than that, and it does look completely indefensible.
So they do work in the end as protest images, then?
I thought that they did, yeah, in spite of possibly the problem of losing any kind of ground.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, Laura.
You're welcome.
I've been speaking with Laura Lamb. The Depravities of War by Sandow Burke continues both at the SFU Gallery on the Burnaby campus and at the Tech Gallery on the downtown campus, and it'll be up until October 24th.